Like I said earlier, I want to pick up again back in Isaiah chapter 9. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Isaiah 7 through 9. I preached three entire chapters of the Bible to you. God does miracles. You're still here and you're good. Today I want to preach these four names that he mentions in Isaiah 9, verse 6. But for some of you who weren't here, I want us to, let's go back, and I want us to remember the context in which Isaiah is giving us, especially in Isaiah 7 through 9. You'll remember that Judah, which is the two small tribes, the southern tribes that are in possession of Jerusalem, they are called the southern kingdom. They had been, they were currently being marginalized, excluded, terrorized, threatened by their northern brothers known as Israel, the ten tribes, who had gone into a very evil pact, if you will, with Syria in a godless alliance against Judah, because Assyria, the evil kingdom, was going to invade from the north. And so Syria and Israel, the ten northern tribes, wanted to join with Judah exclusively apart from God's help, God's wisdom, God's direction. And they were wanting to join together to fight off Assyria. Judah's king, whose name was Ahaz, was very prideful. But in the midst of his pride, and by the way, let me say this. Ahaz was very prideful, but he tried to come off as being spiritual. You ever met anybody like that? Don't point. You ever met anybody that came off as very Christian-like, and yet what was really coming out was their pride and their arrogance, their ability to try to do this on their own, even apart from God's work and God's direction. So instead, God sends Isaiah to Ahaz. Ahaz is out at the pool of water, inspecting it to see if the water would be good so they'd be set up when the invasion comes. And God sends Isaiah to him with his son, whose name is Shear Jashub, which means there will be a remnant that returns. In other words, by the very name of Isaiah's son, he's saying to Ahaz, if you go this way, you need to know that you're about to get your tail kicked. You're going to get your face beaten in. I think the word actually is slobber knocked. You're going to get the dog beat out of you, but there will be, no offense to anybody who owns dogs, but there will be a remnant that comes back. So you just need to know that. All of that is wrapped up in Shear Jashub. I bet you your name doesn't mean quite that much. But then there was a prophecy that came in Isaiah 8 to Isaiah again that says, you're going to have another son, and his name will be Maher Shalal Hashbaz. As you can imagine, that name meant a whole lot also. Basically, that name meant things are about to get really bad. Well, if you just look at the names, one name meant things are about to be bad. The other name means there will be a remnant. Ahaz did not trust God. He did not consult the Lord. So darkness and gloom, blight and fear, trouble and desolation are all about to overwhelm God's people. And then we get to chapter 9, verse 1, and it says, but, one of my favorite preachers, Martin Lloyd-Jones, used to say, thank God for the buts of the Bible. But It says, there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. And as we, as people on this side, New Testament Christians, we know there were some good things that came out of Galilee. But, he says, in darkness, God becomes light. Look at verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. But, he says, although things are bad, although many people are not going to make it through all this darkness and gloom and the judgment that God is bringing upon you. But, he says, in the gloom and despair, there will be joy again. Look at verse 3. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. Listen, it's not because God brings light or because God provides joy. It's because he is light and God is joy. And he says, another son will come with another name. Oh, I mean, we had Shir Jashub, and we had Maharshalal Hashbaz. You try to say it. We had those names. What could be in store for us next? What name could possibly come next? And like a piercing light through the midst of darkness, God says, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. It's not that God brings light, he is light. And when God brings himself into the room, all the darkness runs. When God walks into the midst of the gloom and the despair, the place is filled with joy. Not a single person in here has not felt the hot, painful sting of life. And probably recently. Probably in this crazy year. All of us terrorized by our own sin and the sin of others. All of us threatened by temptation that comes swiftly upon us. All of us marginalized by our own failure and shortcoming. Each of us excluded at the effects of your own pride and self-centeredness. Yes. Every one of us have felt the smack of the hand of life upon our own face. Maharshalal Hashbaz, the spoil speeds and the prey hastens. Things are about to get bad. Life will be hard. Very hard. When you act like Ahaz and decide that you will be the king, that's when life becomes very hard. But Isaiah says, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the gloom, another son has come with another name, God with us. Look at Isaiah 7 and verse 14, this is a familiar verse to you all. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. You know why God has to give us a sign? Because we are too dense to read what he's already given us. Be careful for asking for a sign. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now look at chapter 8, verse 8. And it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow the pass and pass on. This is the gloom, the despair, all of the Assyrian attack, reaching even to the neck. So he has to stand up on his tiptoes because it's just about to overflow him completely. And its outspread wings will fill the breadth of your land. O Emmanuel. Look at verse 9. Be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. You can take up your own strength. It won't do any good. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together. Gather together and make your plans. But it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand. For God is with us. Emmanuel. Aren't you thankful for Emmanuel? I'm pretty sure you didn't hear me. Are you not thankful today that God is with us? If you're not so far, if it's hard for you to understand why you should say amen at that point, hang on and listen well for the next 30 minutes. In this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But take heart, he says. Why? Because another son has come with another name. So, isn't it interesting that God's answer to everything that has ever terrorized your life, my life, or the lives of his people anywhere, the answer that God gives is a child. Well, it's no ordinary child that you will celebrate on Friday. Christmas is no ordinary story. One son's name promises hard times. One son's name promises a small remnant. But the last son's name promises much, much more. Listen carefully. Listen carefully to this word, this very familiar word. This word is so familiar, we pass over it so quickly, we miss it. Isaiah 9, verse 6. In giving us this son, God gave us much, much more. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and here it is, and his name shall be called. And I want us just to look at those four names very quickly, and I want you to see why it is so utterly important that in the darkness, in the gloom of life, it is so important that you are connected to the Son of God, connected to God, because God is with us, because God gives us so much more. First of all, I want you to see in this passage, God's perfect counsel. God's perfect counsel. It's right there in that phrase that he uses, wonderful counselor. Now, if you use a King James Bible, I just want to say I appreciate the King James Bible, but it got the translation slightly wrong here because it put a comma. One little comma. There shouldn't be a comma after wonderful. Wonderful counselor goes together. The adjective and the noun should go together there. Now, I just want to say this at the front. You may not think so, but in every single situation that you face, God knows. Think about that. Isn't that incredible? The 7 billion people that are alive today and the trillions of people who have lived, or billions and billions of people who have lived before us. God knows. And he knows best. God has no blind spots. In your life and in mine, there's nothing that he cannot see, nothing that he has not understood. There's nothing in your life that has made God suddenly crawl off of his throne, put his hands on his knees, and say, I cannot believe that. What a moron. God has never said that about you. God has never said, that one took me by surprise. Now, as parents or as children, you may look at your parents and you may go, now that one, that surprised God right there. What my dad did right there, that was dumb. There's nothing that shocks God. There's nothing that is so big, so crazy, so wild that he cannot see or understand, or that he doesn't have the answer for it. He is a wonderful counselor. Now, we blitz over words so quickly, and we've kind of forgotten what words mean, but the word wonderful, we attach wonderful to everything. It's a wonderful life. You'll watch it this week, probably. Well, wasn't that wonderful? Oh, this food is so wonderful. Maybe you don't use the word wonderful. The word literally means to be full of wonder. All right? In my vernacular, it means, whoa. Wow. He's a wonderful counselor. It's wonderful is the kind of idea that makes your eyes big in their sockets, right? It's wonderful. That's the kind of counselor that God is. When God speaks, your eyes ought to get big and go, wow, whoa. I need to pay attention here. This is good stuff. Really, couched in that word is the concept of the supernatural. Beyond what seems to be real. Beyond what seems to be natural. Beyond what seems to be the given order of nature. In other words, God has this infinite wisdom. And you don't. Did you catch the tail end of that? And you don't. Have you ever noticed how quickly you can get yourself tied into knots? If you can't say amen. That's because you want to be the king. It's the nature inside of all of us to want to be the king of our own life. You make a very good you. But you don't make such a good God. It's a good thing that we have a wonderful counselor because we have all royally, royally messed it up. Amen? The writer of Proverbs says it this way, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it only leads to death. To which I would say 100%. Right? But God gives us perfect counsel. When you don't know the way to go, He is the way. When you're not sure what the truth is, He is the truth. When life seems to be completely messed up, drugged down, beat down, and totally shattered, Jesus is the life. He's the perfect counselor. And the way that He is giving us perfect counsel is by giving us Himself. Turn over to John. For just a moment, turn in your Bible to John chapter 14. Now, I don't know, it's very debated, this Isaiah 9 passage, as to whether these names are Trinitarian in nature or not. Some say yes, some say no, so I'm not going to worry too much about it. We know that God is a Trinity. But look at John 14. Jesus has given us Himself, and He says this, if you love me, in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, I'm going to give you some counsel. If you trust me, if you love me, you'll do the thing that I'm counseling you to do. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another, here it is, helper, it says in your ESV. In some of your Bibles, it says advocate or it says counselor. He's our counselor. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. To be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Isaiah is giving us this prophecy that tells us we have a child with a new name that's being given to us, and His name is Wonderful Counselor, and He's always going to be with you to guide you into what is true, what is truth. Because we know that when we begin to deviate from truth, that's when life jumps up and slaps you, right? Well, here He is. He gives us truth. Turn over to John 15 and verse 26. He says the same thing. But when the helper comes, the counselor, the advocate, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness, or he'll testify about me. You see, our perfect counsel, our wonderful counselor is counseling us to always turn our eyes back to Jesus Christ, because that's the Son who has been given. This child, this Christmas baby, he is that counselor. If you turn just over in Isaiah, just a couple of pages over to chapter 11, in verse 2 it says this, and the Spirit of the Lord, we were just talking about the Spirit of the Lord that's mentioned in John, right, 14 and 15, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This is our counselor. This is the God who brings us to himself. He gives us himself. I got to be honest with you. As a pastor, I frequently have people who will call me and say, hey, I need to see a counselor. I wonder, could you give me somebody? Could you tell me somebody that I need to go to? And I'm always happy to do that. Sometimes people call me and ask me if I'll do counseling. And of course, I do. I want to be able to share with them the things of the Lord. But one of the first things that I do when I begin to sit down and quote, counsel somebody is I want to talk to them about, do you know how to walk with Jesus? What is your walk with the Lord like? I try to stay away from some of the kind of the Christianese talk, because if you say, well, you know, do you love Jesus? Well, of course I love Jesus. Are you walking with the Lord? Well, yeah, yes, I'm walking with the Lord. Now, I want to know about, do you know how to read the Bible? Do you know how to pray the scriptures, that it would be a powerful force in your life? Do you have a daily time, a regular time where you're having the counsel of the Lord poured into your heart, your head, and your mind, so that you can constantly walk in other words, do, obey the things that God has counseled you with, so you can walk. It's called discipleship. I have had more people who have come to me after I've taught them how to walk with the Lord have come back and said, you're right, I mean, I might have needed counseling, but this was what I really needed to walk with the Lord. How about you? Do you walk with the Lord? Do you allow yourself to be exposed constantly to that Spirit who is the great counselor, the helper, the comforter to come and to give you wise counsel? His ways are not like yours. His thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts are. So seek his counsel. Seek his word. How is it that this wonderful, perfect counselor, how is it that he counsels? Well, I don't know, I've heard it before, that the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to do the work of God. He's a wonderful counselor. He gave us so much more when he gave us his Son. He gave us perfect counsel. Number two, he's not only a perfect counselor, he's also a powerful conqueror. Do you see what the next phrase uses there? It says that he is a mighty God. He's a mighty God. And this Son that he gives with this new name is God himself. God in the flesh. God incarnate. God just doesn't give you some advice on how to make life better and then set you loose and say, well, good luck. Hope that works out for you. By the way, I think I need to say this before I move away too far away from that first point. I don't want you to get the idea that I don't think that counseling is a good thing. It's a great thing, especially when it is done with someone who is a believer and wants to open the Word of God to help. But this God, he doesn't just give us his counsel and set us off and say, good luck. No, he has the power to change your life. He has the power to transform a sin-enslaved soul and to make you completely free. That's what he says in John 8:31. If you abide in my word, then you will know the truth. You're truly one of my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will be what sets you free. When we got this prophecy 700 years before Christ of this perfect counselor and this powerful conqueror, it was the indication to us that there was a child that was coming, the Christmas child, who would radically have the power to change your life. He has the power to bring to pass the counsel that he gives. In other words, the will of God will come to pass. There's a Puritan writer who once wrote, I think it's so simplistic but yet deep. He says, God often brings his people into such a condition that they don't know what to do. He does this so that they might know what he can do. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like you've gotten to a point in your life where you go, I just don't know what to do? And then if you look back on it, you know, yep, God actually brought me to that point, to the bottom of the barrel, to the end of the rope, so that I could see what God could do. And are those not some of the greatest, sweetest moments in your life, in your walk with the Lord, when you know you had nothing to do with it except to maybe get yourself in the situation that you were in and see God do his work? He is a mighty God. It's the same God who created everything can recreate you by faith in Christ. The same God who formed the entire world with a word can transform and reform your life with his living word. So put your faith in this mighty God. Place your trust in this mighty God who gave us another son with another name, a child in a manger, who, by the way, did not lose a single ounce of his deity when he came as Emmanuel to be God with us. Jesus has overcome the world. He's made you more than a conqueror. He's a mighty God, and he can do it for you. I'm reminded of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. He's a perfect counselor, a powerful conqueror. Third, I want you to see here, he gives us paternal care. Paternal care. See this term here, he says, everlasting father. I want you to think about this. The adjective that's given there, everlasting, it may not be about his eternal nature as much as it is signifying his unending, never leaving, always present care for you. He's an everlasting father. He, Emmanuel, God with us, is a God who never leaves. And if Christmas tells us anything, it tells us that God has come, that he has given us his spirit, and his care for us has never left us, and it never will. I wish I could preach a little bit more on that, but I got to reserve some of it for Thursday night at 5 o'clock in our Christmas Eve service. This everlasting father, he cares intimately. He knows you thoroughly. And even in knowing you thoroughly, the Bible says that he loves you endlessly. Now I get it, when we start talking about the fatherhood of God, there's always the danger that we're talking to someone who has a father that left you. Many of us in here in this room have felt that sting upon our life. But the Bible assures us again and again and again, over and over, a new name has been given to this child who will come. He is the everlasting Father. You think about this, the birth of Christ, he who was our heavenly Father became an earthly Son. And the heavenly Father was born to a woman and became his earthly Son. I don't know, get your head wrapped around that for a second. Here's another one. When Christ was born, he was older than his mother. Now some of you are not going to hear another thing I say. But you just need to know this. Some fathers have left you. This Father will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He knows you intimately. He knows everything about you. He knows how you have screwed up everything. And he loves you not one ounce less. Really, this is the meaning of Christmas. Wow. How gracious God is to give us this perfect counselor, this powerful conqueror who can make all of his plans work, and this kind of paternal care that God would never leave us, never forsake us. But finally, here the Bible says that he is the peaceful Christ, the peaceful Christ. I love that title, Prince of Peace. You know the Hebrew word, it's the word shalom, and actually the word Prince of Peace is one single word, shar shalom. When we think about peace, we think about calmness and tranquility, serenity, words that we don't use very much anymore. Certainly, that word, shalom, means all of those things, but it means much more. It means to be made whole, to be made complete again. It means well-being. It is the blessing of being made to be in right standing before the king. That is the job of the prince. Think of the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, there are several scenes in which either Haman or Esther or whoever is about to come into the throne room before the king. But they're told, if you're not invited by the king to come in and see you, if he does not extend his scepter to you, that means that you're not welcome and it's instant death. You're not in right standing before the king. And this was the job of the prince, the son, to come before the king on behalf of the people so that there would be good standing, that there would be favor with the people who come before the king into his presence. Well, the bad news for us is the Bible says that as God is the King of Kings, the ruler of all nations, that it says that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And for us to go into the presence of God would certainly mean instant death. But the good news is that God sent another son with another name. He is the Prince of Peace. And he's already gone back to the Father. And he's gone before him. And he said to him, I've made it right between you and them. Let them come before you. And now we come before the King with complete and utter peace. No, you are not getting that. That is good news. That's the gospel. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. He bore your sin on an old rugged cross. He hung on his earthly throne, representing the Father, representing the people. He took your sin, became your sin for you. And the Bible says that he was crushed for our iniquities. But God allowed him to come before the throne room and he made intercession. He has made peace once and for all between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Listen to this. Romans 5, verse 1. I got to give you a few passages here before we close. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through what Christ has done for us on the cross. Or listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. For in him, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Or listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says, verse 14, it says, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his own flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Oh, this is incredible news. This means that we can come before God, that we can enjoy the presence and the power of God, that we are allowed to have now, because the Prince of Peace has come, we're now allowed to receive the perfect counsel that God gives to us. We're now allowed to be in the absolute presence of this almighty, powerful God who gives us his paternal care through the presence of his Holy Spirit. We get to have fellowship with God. That's the good news of Christmas. Did you know that there's more loneliness, more depression, more anxiety, more despair, more discouragement, more suicide at Christmas time than any other time? And it's ironic. We're busier than ever, but never more empty, never more barren, never more hollow, never more dry. Isn't it ironic? It's a time which the world is trying to cram down your throat and dazzle you with all of their stuff that they say that you need. But none of it brings what it promises. But God brought exactly what he promised. He brought us the Prince of Peace. He brings joy. He brings fulfillment. He brings peace. I take you back to Isaiah 9, verse 1. But God. He brings peace that passes all understanding. It is unbelievable. Believe it. He's the Prince of Peace. Well, what an incredible child this is. It's like no child that has ever been born, right? What a child we've been given. Why would you not listen to the counsel of this one? Only Christ offers and delivers abundant life to you. Why would you go through another day, another year like 2020? Anybody signing up for that? Why would you go through that on your own power when Almighty God offers his strength and power and he conquers all for you? Why would you not today seek the presence of this eternal Father who has never-ending care for you? Why would you live at odds with him when he offers peace that passes understanding? He's our perfect counselor, our powerful conqueror. He's given us paternal care, and he is our peaceful Christ. That's the name that he gave us for that son who comes. There's one other thing that the Bible says about the name. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. This is Christmas. Let's pray together. If you need today to meet this counselor who has perfect counsel, you're lost. You've lost your way. Perhaps you've come today and you know that you don't have the strength in your own grit to overcome what you have been plagued with, what we've all been plagued with, the greatest plague in the history of mankind, the plague of sin that separates us from God. If today you know the sting of that, and you need to meet this mighty God who's taken care of it, who's brought us the Prince of Peace, who gives us perfect peace with God, then today we'd love to share with you how you can know this God. In just a few moments after we pray, we're going to stand and we'll be dismissed in a moment. And to my right, to your left, we'll be out in this hallway. All of our pastors would love the opportunity to share with you how you might know this child, another son, this son who has been given with another name. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Do you know him? Have you trusted him? Would you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Would you be at peace with God today? Is there something standing between you and God today that you know that you need to get right with him? Would you make one step towards that reconciliation by coming today, praying with one of our pastors? We'd love to share with you how you can be at peace with God. Do you walk with God? Is he your daily counselor? Or have you decided that you're going to do this on your own? Come, let us share with you how you can know God. He has given you his son. Come and walk with this son, Emmanuel, God with us. Father, thank you for your word. May it change and transform our lives. May this Christmas, may we truly know and embrace this son that you've given with a new name. God, we know that times will be hard. Life is very difficult. And we also know that you have called out a remnant, but you've not left us alone, for you are Emmanuel, God with us. Come and be with us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to ask all of you to stand with me this morning. As we close in our benediction, I do want to remind you that we are scheduled to have our Christmas Eve service this Thursday night at 5 o'clock. I want to reemphasize that we are scheduled to do that. I say that because it is the COVID era, and sometimes things are getting dicey. But we are scheduled right now to have our Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock. It'll last no more than 40 to 45 minutes. And we want to invite you to come and sing some Christmas carols with us and then go home and eat food and hang out with your family and celebrate this God that has come to be with us, this God who is Emmanuel. So receive this benediction today, and it's just our passage that we've read today. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. May God's peace be with you. Amen.